This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, we are halfway home on a Monday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan, back from Philly, yo. And we had such a great time as a show. Little bonding trip is exactly what it was. Went out to see the boys play as well. Only got to see one game. Got rained out the next day, but we made the most of that day, I will say. One of the greatest days in show history.
Somebody in the chat this morning, they asked, did the rain delay and the doubleheader and everything screw up all your plans for Tuesday? No, not at all. It actually opened things up beautifully really for us.
We also happened to save like half of the Padres' equipment from a flood that we were unaware of.
I wonder if Schulte knows how valuable and instrumental we are to that team's success. As we were down there, and all of a sudden the rain just started pouring in, and I believe it was Brian Esposito that had to grab the squeegee and was trying to push water out of the clubhouse.
The drains were just not moving fast enough to drain the water, so it was coming in from the dugout up the tunnel, and the Padres, you know, players had their bags down, like the catcher's gear and bats and everything, and I go, is there anyone, because they're all back in a meeting
back
somewhere.
In a meeting.
And I go, is anyone aware that you're about to, like, your equipment's going to get soaked?
I ran and found a PR guy. I'm like, hey, there's a bunch of, like, equipment bags and baseballs and stuff. Like, it's about to get soaked
now. We just did it. We took the bull by the horns. I went down. I grabbed Elias Diaz's bag. Paulie grabbed Maldi's bag. We pulled them up, put them at the top of the stairs so that they wouldn't get wet, took the baseballs and moved everything out of the way. And then we went out that night and it was unbelievable. It was a spiritual reset for the show. It was absolutely incredible. Maybe the best night I've had out amongst friends. It was incredible. Our little guy over here just had the time of his life, didn't he? Didn't you?
It was a good time.
Yeah. That's all you want to say about that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, did we visit some Philadelphia establishments?
We did.
Maybe.
Sure did. We had a great time. Great time. There's a lot to like about that city. Now, it was hotter than fish
grease.
Hotter. I mean, just this sweat pouring over you. The first time in my life, Paulie knows this, Ben knows this, you guys have traveled with me before. I pack a big bag, and it is full of stuff, and it's the first time I've ever traveled that I underpacked. I had to rewear the same pair of underwear twice. I've never done that. I always bring, and I thought I brought plenty. For a 3-day trip, I brought six pairs plus the one I was wearing, seven pair of underwear. I ripped through them. Socks I had to reuse. I mean, it was terrible. I changed three times a day and took three showers a day.
Three a day. I thought it worked out really well. Our hotel was very centrally located in downtown where there was a bunch of the Independence Hall, Liberty Bell, historical stuff on one side of the hotel. And then on the other side was like the Rocky Steps and the statue and all that touristy stuff. So we were able to like go do a couple of hours. We couldn't go more than like an hour and a half, 2 hours in that heat. And you're like, all right, I got to get back into the AC, a shower, change of clothes. And then we'll meet up in like 2 hours to go to the game.
We were all fine with that.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes
great.
You're traveling with other family members who just want to go. But the three of us were cool going out sightseeing for a couple hours and then go rest for a little while.
Now, the way that we got around too, like we walked a lot. We walked a ton, actually. But then, you know, we'd be like, hey, let's go check this out. Let's go to Mitchell and Ness. So let's grab an Uber. Now, the standard Uber air freshener in Philly is garlic. I'm pretty sure it's standard. Like, I saw, I think, a clove hanging from a guy's... Are there vampires there? I have no idea. But every Uber we got into was all Honda CRX, like 85%
CRV.
Of them. CRV, yeah. Sorry. And we got in, and they all reeked of garlic / onions.
And you were risking your life.
Pretty much.
Every single ride,
Every single ride, risking your life.
Narrow streets, fast drivers.
Oh, yeah.
You get the picture.
So, but we happened to hit the absolute mother load. When we jumped in a cab, we were pouring sweat. And we had this guy come pick us up, and he was taking us to Mitchell and Ness, which is the clothing store. Bought my kids.
The OG.
The OG
right?
Mitchell and Ness.
The flagship store right there in downtown Philly. Yeah.
So we went there. I got the boys each an Allen Iverson jersey that they didn't take it off all weekend. They absolutely loved it. Showed them the highlights. Taylor going around the house going, I'm talking about practice, man. Practice. It's the greatest thing ever. I loved it.
Every day my practice sucks.
It was so good. So we go in, but the guy that drove us there was exactly what we were looking for. We wanted the quintessential.
Picked us up in Independence Hall. It was about a 10-minute ride. Michael. Philly Mike.
Philly Mike. Check him out.
A little heavy on your gas pedal in the middle of the city there, bro.
How's your morning?
Bunch of idiots like that. Other than that, not too bad.
Good, good, good. Is this the full-time gig or is this side
gig? Yeah, this is full-time.
Full-time gig? Nice.
And then you add in the friends that go, oh, well, he does Lyft and Uber. That means he's got nothing but time.
That's right.
And he drives. Come get me.
Yeah, that's what friends are for, huh? You Phillies fan?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, we're going to the game tonight.
Nice.
We're from San Diego. We're Padres fans, but...
Oh, I am sorry for all your losses.
Definitely a lot of them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. Have they really had anybody except Juan Soto since the era of Tony Gwynn?
Yeah. Machado?
Yeah, maybe he's
the... All right.
Tatis.
Fernando?
Merrill?
I mean, a couple, all right.
All right.
I'll give you a couple.
Say, we kind of see
I mean, Machado we almost we came
like
here.
He almost
we like
did.
Schwarber.
We love Schwarber.
We like a lot of the
Phillies. Like a lot of the Phillies.
I mean, listen, there is nothing like watching a Schwarber.
No.
All right? There is nothing like it. Although, I am a little bit worried in regards to one individual on the team, because how the did Castellanos get almost outrun by the catcher?
That was pretty amazing. That was a pretty
that
amazing
was
play.
Funny as
that was great.
Watching Realmuto on Castellanos' ass.
Yeah, perfect.
Like you see them rounding third, and you can almost hear Realmuto going, move!
The best.
It was unbelievable. Ben was sitting shotgun. Me and Woods are in the back. And every time he...
I didn't know you were recording back
hit
then.
That,
yeah, no idea.
Every time that guy hit that Delco accent, Woods is just nudging me. I'm like, I got it.
Please don't stop rolling. So he was...
Oh, he gave us recommendations on where and where not to go for Philly cheesesteaks.
It was exactly what we wanted. We needed the quintessential Philly guy.
He really wanted us to eat Scrapple. Which is the breakfast meat of choice in Pennsylvania Dutch country. But his description of it, it's the part of the pig that isn't good enough for the hot dogs, then kind of pressed into a patty that you then eat for breakfast. Did not sell any of us on the Scrapple.
Was that the morning? That was not the morning. We were not hungover that morning. We were fine.
We were not hungover.
We had a little bit of wine at dinner. The dinner that we had was absolutely outstanding. We went to an Italian place called Villa di Roma. And right when you walk in the door, the guy's like, what do you want? You know, you're like, oh, we have a reservation. Sit down, rickety-ass table, rickety-ass wicker chairs. You sit down. They come over. Our meal, including two types of bread, salads. I got chicken parm. You guys got a pasta dish. It was out and done, like 30 minutes. It was done. Desserts came. We were in and out of that place in 45 minutes. It was my dream.
We had had a bottle of wine poured amongst the three of us.
Yeah.
Bread. Shrimp.
Yeah, shrimp.
What were all the appetizers?
Salads.
All of that before water had even been poured.
Correct.
Like, it was, we were in and out, like you said, less than an hour.
Brilliant meal. Villa di Roma. Highly recommended in this little
meatballs.
Italy. Yeah, meatballs were outstanding.
I swear to God, I was full the rest of the trip.
Me too.
After that one meal. I couldn't, we'd get a sandwich, like a cheesesteak, and split it three ways. I was I can't do a full one.
I couldn't either. I could not eat a full Philly cheesesteak. So we also tried we went in to this Reading Central Market, which, by the way, if Ben could have made love to a place, it would have been...
It was amazing.
It was like a magnet. Every time he'd walk outside, he's like, should we go to the market?
It was food heaven. I mean, it was food heaven. They had dozens and dozens of vendors and stalls with every food that you can imagine.
You know you can't have sex with a building, right?
It was so really, really good and interesting and different stuff that I hadn't eaten before.
Yeah, so we had to try... we got a... strap in for this, man. We got the Philly cheesesteak stuffed pretzel. Paulie got it. And it will bring you to your knees.
That's a Miller's twist in the market. That was outstanding.
A pretzel roll-up.
Pretzel roll-up.
Stuffed it with cheesesteak.
The pretzels were amazing. The regular pretzels.
Yeah.
Soft pretzels. Best soft pretzels in your life.
It's unbelievable. I got the Thanksgiving sandwich, which was turkey, stuffing, cranberry. So what we did, we all got a different thing, and then we split it, and we all had a bite.
Ben got the mix and match. You know,
yeah, mix and match.
The tuna melt, do the mix and match.
Yeah, did the mix and match. So Benny got the roast pork, and I was looking forward to the roast pork. I heard nothing but good things about roast pork, and I'll remember that wretched taste for the rest of my life.
You did not like the broccoli raw, the greens on top.
I was
bitter greens.
Not a fan.
I liked it.
Broccoli Ben loved it.
Broccoli Ben was.
I was good.
He was. Oh. You put down the majority of that
too
sandwich.
Much. Yeah, I definitely. Oh my God. Did eat too much of just about everything.
So we had. The food was outstanding, but honestly, I don't feel like we overate because we literally split our meals. The only time we overate was at the Italian place. You cannot eat. And then on our way out, brilliant idea by Ben. He said, let's go to Angelo's. And we pull up to Angelo's. There's a line out the door to get one more cheesesteak because we only had the one at Citizens Bank.
And we're like, good God, that's a long line. And the guy goes, buddy, this ain't nothing.
This is nothing. Guy watched our luggage for us. We went in. We got a cheesesteak. We got each got one. I could only get half down. You cannot, if you eat a full one, you're a glutton. There's just
so
no
much
way.
Meat in it.
There's so much.
You feel like you're eating like the biggest steak of your life, all chopped up with cheese.
We ate it on
a
dumpster.
CD roll.
We went over to a dumpster and we unfolded. They don't have tables because why would they have tables at a restaurant?
No.
You open up the paper and you open, and I'm telling you, I'm ruined. And I'll get the cheesesteak at Jersey Mike's. I don't think I will anymore. There's nothing I've had that comes close to the flavor and taste of that. The cheese, whatever they do with it, the seeded bun. It was so, so good. So if you're a foodie, Philly is a place for you, man. It was epic. Epic. And it dive bars everywhere. It was such a blast.
Now, we also had some travel adventures on our trip, starting with Arrival. You mentioned it a little bit earlier, but the easiest flight out, I think, ever.
Piece cake.
They were tailwinds. We arrived 45 minutes.
Four hours and 35 minutes. Nothing.
We got across the country like nothing. It was so easy. And we pull out and we get off and I go, I want to do the train, but it's hot and it's sticky. So we go to the baggage lane. We're just going to do the Uber Lyft into our hotel. We're good, though. We're going to get there probably an hour and a half, 2 hours earlier than we expected. We're going to have all afternoon to chill before dinner, get comfortable, take a little rest, whatever. So we're sitting there waiting for our bags along with the rest of our flight. You mentioned Jason Adams' wife and Dylan Cease's girlfriend was there. A bunch of Tier 1s were on the plane. They were also going to see the series in Philly. Bags start coming off. We're all looking for our bags. They don't come off. Other flights, they grab bags, they go. Oh, I guess that wasn't our flight. So then baggage claim fires up again. Bags start coming out. Everyone's looking. Okay,
these are from L.A.
Then they all these people from L.A., a flight that had gotten in 20, 30 minutes after us, they get their bags. One of the Tier 1s who was there, I forget his name, he goes, well, let me check. I got an AirTag in my bag.
Yeah, he had an AirTag.
And he goes, this thing's still sitting on the tarmac.
It's not moved.
It's still, like, on the plane. I go, like, they haven't unloaded our plane.
It's been like 45 minutes to an hour at this
so
point.
So another flight comes through. More bags. Not ours. And finally, they make an announcement. Now, on flight whatever from San Diego, we're understanding operations has not been able to offload your plane yet. They
we
are
forgot,
aware.
Basically.
We're trying to remedy the situation to stand by for another announcement. We're there. Three more flights. Another hour before finally, 2 hours later, we've all been waiting. They finally get our bags off
so hot in that airport. Oh. We're just sweating.
Sweating bullets.
Dying. We went from thinking, oh, we're going to get to our hotel about 3 o'clock. Dinner's at 7:30.
Have time to chill.
Maybe we can get some sightseeing to go see something before dinner to all of a sudden we're like, we have to hustle to downtown, check in, shower, and get right back on the road and go to dinner.
It was not 2 hours sitting in the terminal waiting for our bags. It was, and we actually had the thought, did they do this on purpose? Because they're playing the Padres? That's how, you know, they're petty there. They're really petty. They don't like you in the gear and everything else. And I go, did they purposely delay?
I was suspicious, too. I mean, I figure there's some Philly people coming home as well, if they didn't deserve that.
Yeah, they did not.
The operations staff at Philadelphia International. But then on the way back home, we get our cheesesteaks, and then we're in the Uber to the airport, and that's when the news comes in. Oh, your flight's
2 hours.
2 hours delayed. And then they add another, about 90 minutes. I think we ended up 3.5-4 hours delayed.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we were able to get access to the club.
How did we get that access?
That would be me.
Ben with his Sapphire Preferred.
I got my Sapphire card for you. Yeah. Reserve, not the preferred.
Hey, there were worse ways to sit in an airport.
So we got to watch the first game of the doubleheader, which the Padres won and enjoyed that. But then we're getting on the plane. And as we're filing on to our seats back in economy class, sitting right in the very first row of first class is Tier 1 Brian. And Brian looks at us as we're passing.
He was on our flight out.
He was on our flight out as well. He was part of the baggage claim nightmare. And Brian sees us filing in and immediately looks up and goes, Paulie, You want my seat?
Take my seat.
Take my seat. And Paulie's going, what?
We had gone into economy.
Yeah, we sat down.
In consecutive rows. We each had a window seat.
8, 9, 10.
We were like, we don't need to share a row again. We've seen enough of each other at this point. 8, 9, and 10. And I was in the middle, and he walked, like, we're seated, getting ready to take off here in a few minutes. And he walks back into economy, and he goes, Paulie, this is for you.
Yeah.
And I go, well, what is that? And I open it, and it was his boarding pass. He goes, we're switching seats.
Yeah, you go sit in first class.
And I go, why? What are you talking about? And he looks at you guys. He's like, Paulie deserves it, right?
Yeah, we said absolutely. Like,
100%. Absolutely. I didn't think twice. I got my ass up immediately and was like, I don't know why you're doing this.
But thank you. First time in first class?
I had never been in first class. I'd never been to the East Coast. I'm a West Coast boy my whole life. Never been on a plane more than a couple of hours, except for like one time we had to go Seattle to Dallas. It was like 4 hours, and that's the longest I'd ever been on a plane. So this 5 hour, 15 minute flight, by far my longest flight that I've been on in my life, never been in first class. Boy.
What a huge, huge, cool move.
It was unbelievable, Brian. If you're hearing this right now, thank you again. It was outstanding. I was fully prepared to doze off and try to catch up on some sleep on that plane, and then I thought, nope, gonna enjoy this one.
Yeah,
and
it was just such a cool move. Such a cool move.
So if you're hoping to be named Tier 1 of the year at the end of the year,
it's a good way to start.
To make up on Brian at this point, who has comfortably moved into the lead.
His son Spencer's in the chat. I think we took a selfie with Brian on the way out there, and he said, yeah, my son listens to you guys all the time.
Brian Hoffelder. That's right. What a great dude. It was awesome.
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then we, you know, got home and went home and relaxed, but it was such a great trip. I want to do it again, you know, a different spot next year, with some tier ones, you know, potentially working on something where we could make that a reality with our pal David J. We've got some things cooking right now from Mad Friars. So hopefully we can get that done and do a flyaway with the tier ones and have some drinks and have some food and go watch a ball game. But it was epic. It was an epic trip.
All right. We still may have a couple of more stories as we go, but that was the highlight.
Live stream. Maybe from the live stream.
of our trip to Philadelphia.
Share everything.
When we come back, it's been a while. It is time to play Take on Woods.
If you want to
be our contestant to Battle Woods for a chance to qualify. Do we have a new grand prize this month as well, Paulie?
Yes, we do.
We have a new grand prize as well, a trip to Las Vegas, Motley Crue in Las Vegas.
Wow.
And we may have BetterBuzz gift cards to give away as well. I don't want to spoil the secret, but 833-288-0973. Our musical trivia challenge is coming up when we come back. And then Dennis Lynn, our Linsider, at the bottom of the hour. Don't go away. Call in now, 833-288-0973. Ben and Woods continuing on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. One of the amazing things, ran into a tier one in Philly. He goes, hey, Ben. Tier one, and I did SDFatLoss.com. I think he said he lost like 55 pounds. Incredible. He looked great. I still look great. I was able, even on the trip, I managed to not gain a single pound. I think I didn't. I got on the scale. We walked a lot and stuff, but I have simply changed my metabolism by following a couple of summers ago. Yeah, summer's fun. You can lose weight during the summer. Learn some new habits. I learned them, and I was able to incorporate them into my life. I lost 40 pounds in 60 days. That's up to a pound of fat per day and 10 to 20% off your body weight in just 60 days. There is no reason not to do it now. I don't care if you're going on vacation. I don't care if you've got barbecues planned. You can still lose the weight and have a good time. I had some cheat days, still lost all that weight 2 summers ago and have kept it all off. And you do it without exercise, you do it without injections, and you don't have to buy any food from them. No bars or shakes. It's all real food from the grocery store. I ate a ton of chicken and steak and veggies, and I lost the weight. You can do it as well. So many tier ones, like the one I met in Philly, have lost so much weight. Just sign up for your free consultation online by going to sdfatloss.com. Find out how the program works, how you can change your life like I did at sdfatloss.com. Results may vary. Day and night. I got Dennis Lynn, our Linsider from The Athletic, at the bottom of the hour. So let's get right to it. It is time to play a Monday version of Take on Woods. Got Brandon set to be our contestant here this morning. Hello, Brandon.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good. I got two pieces of good news for you. First up, just for playing today, Better Buzz is going to give you a $50 gift card. Better Buzz Coffee coming in hot with their Summer Flings menu. Try the coconut best drink ever and some of the great energy drinks, the Tropical Buzz and the new Blue Crush Acai Bowl stacked with fruit granola and all the good stuff to keep cool this summer for a limited time only at Better Buzz Coffee. And Brandon, if you can beat or tie Woods, we also have a brand new grand prize to qualify for. It is a two-night stay at Park MGM Las Vegas, two tickets to Motley Crue on September 19th, and a $100 gas card. Motley Crue's Las Vegas residency at Dolby Live at Park MGM runs September 12th through October 3rd. Ticketmaster has the tickets at Ticketmaster.com. All right, here are your choices for categories. We've got some holdovers from before the break. All White Now. Those are five song titles that include the word white. We have White Sail. Those are five bands or artists that include the word white. Or we have Summer School. That is a 5 2-second song category featuring the word summer. So All White Now, White Sail, or Summer School. Brandon, what would you like to play?
Let's go Summer School, please.
All right, we're going with the music again today. All right, Tier 1 Steve actually contributed this category for us. Paulie has put it together. You have five questions. They are all 2-second songs. You need to identify the song title and the artist of each piece of music to score the point. You go first, Woods goes second. If you beat her time, you're into the drawing for Las Vegas. All right, Brandon, are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, Paul, you good to go?
I'm ready.
Right,
it's a tough one, Brandon.
Category is Summer School. Yeah, I think this is a tough one. We'll see how you do. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays our first song. Good luck, Brandon. Let's take on Woods.
Last Summer, No Doubt.
Incorrect. Song number two.
Cool Summer, Bananarama.
Correct. Song number three.
Pass.
Song number four.
Pass.
All right. Song number five.
My goodness. Pass.
All right, go back to song number three. Running out of time here.
Oh, you got me this time.
All right.
Pass.
Song number four. No, we only got the one. It is a tough category, Brandon. I will give you that. You got Cruel Summer by Bananarama. The ones you didn't get, Suddenly Last Summer by The Motels. That was song number one. Then Summer Breeze, Seals and Crofts. Summer in the City by The Lovin' Spoonful, and Feels Like Summer by Childish Gambino. That ran the gamut of music there. All right, Brandon's score is locked in. Woods doesn't get the category, but I will tell him it's all 2-second songs again today.
Okay.
60 seconds on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Brandon.
Suddenly Last Summer by The Motels.
That is correct. Song number two.
Cruel Summer by Bananarama.
That is correct. Song number three.
Summer Breeze by Seals and Crofts.
That is correct. Song number four.
Pass.
Song number five.
Crap. Mm-hmm. Hit the wall. I don't know.
Go back to song number four.
I don't know.
You kind of got that one in there?
Summer's Taint.
Nope. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, you got the win, though. 3-1. That's Summer in the City by The Lovin' Spoonful.
Okay.
Hot Town, Summer in the City.
Got it.
And then the last one, tough, newer. Feels Like Summer by Childish Gambino.
No, I would have never
done that. But Summer was the, Summer School was the category. Okay. You beat Brandon on a tough one today.
That was tough, my
3-1, so no qualifiers yet for Motley Crue and the Park MGM in Las Vegas.
That Motels song is one of my top 10 favorite
Suddenly
songs.
Last summer.
Oh my God, do I love that song. Incredible. Incredible work, gentlemen.
All right. We will have many opportunities for you to qualify for Las Vegas the rest of the month of July, but you do get to enjoy the Better Buzz gift card, Brandon, so stay on the line. Paulie will get your info, and we'll come back. with Dennis Lynn on the NL wildcard race, the upcoming trade deadline, and more. Everything we've missed from our Lynn-sider when we come back with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Quickly, gang, if you are maxed out on credit card sales, struggling with high interest debt, you can pay it all off in days with Loan Pronto's Rapid Equity Loan. Of course, it's Woodsy here. Get cash out now without touching your low rate first mortgage. No appraisals, no waiting, no BS. The Rapid Equity Loan Program at Loan Pronto is incredible. One Loan Pronto client just got $300,000 approved in under 24 hours, paid off debt, renovated their kitchen, cut their monthly expenses by $1,800. Pretty big turnaround for that family. Loan Pronto, instant approvals, low rates, no hard credit pull up front. Your home's equity is yours, guys. Use it. Get cash out to consolidate your debt down to one easy, low monthly payment. Call Loan Pronto now for a free instant appraisal for your home. See how much cash you can get today. Loan Pronto, A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, have nearly 2,500 five-star Google reviews. Service off the charts. Call now. Get the conversation started at 619-207-4336 or loanpronto.com. 619-207-4336. Get debt relief now at loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender. NMLS 1661781. On approved credit. NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
No 2 second songs for Black Betty.
No.
By Ram Jam.
Ram Jam.
Michael in the chat says, Woods' knowledge of music is seriously impressive. I couldn't tell you the song names of some of my favorite bands, even. Ha ha. Good start to the month.
It's a fun game. I like it.
Before we get to Dennis Lynn, I do want to remind you, it is a Mike Schilt week on Friday. We'll have the manager's report with Mike Schilt. 9 a.m. on Ben Woods, refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. And I have to imagine one of Mike Schilt's biggest concerns is getting Fernando Tatis Jr. and Jackson Merrill hitting again.
Yeah.
It's a topic that Dennis Lynn wrote about in The Athletic in a new piece this morning, and we will talk to him about that and more right after our check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Happy Monday, Padres fans. It's time to discuss the weekend that was for the Padres with our Ben and Woods Lynn-sider, Dennis Lynn from The Athletic. Brought to you by the all-new Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks, it gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
We had to experience a little taste of something that Dennis knows well from his many years covering the San Diego Padres for the UT and then the Athletic, and that is life on the road with
yes.
the Major League Baseball team. We went to Philly last week and got to see the guys. And Dennis, it's good to have you. What were your favorite things and least favorite things about traveling to cover a baseball team?
Rain delays.
That was bad.
All about that
yep.
by now, right?
We got that. Yep.
And my favorite thing would be getting ice cream from Frank in Philly. So I don't know if you
ice cream
all got to partake.
No, missed
in
it.
The press box up there, but. Yeah, that is one of the distinct pleasures on the road.
So we were going to get it on Tuesday, and we went up there, and because the rain out was called so early, the whole crew had already left, and there was nothing up there for us. It was very sad.
The whole stadium was empty. We had free rein of the entire stadium.
We did
stadium.
Get that cheesesteak from the visiting clubhouse, though, and it was amazing.
It was incredible.
Well, there you go. I hope that made up for it.
It did.
It did.
It did.
Yeah.
It was spectacular. Just skimming through your piece here this morning. Yeah, I mean, look, Dennis, we've talked about this with you ad nauseum. I mean, you can add pieces to this lineup all you want. If the guys at the top don't do what they're, you know, supposed to do and what they're all paid pretty handsomely to do, this team's going nowhere. I mean, you're not going anywhere. If Jackson Merrill can't figure it out and Fernando Tatis Jr. can't find a way to be a little bit more consistent, then yeah, we're pretty much up a creek. You know, watching Jackson Merrill, it's so weird to see him chase so much after watching this pretty elite plate discipline that he had last year. And he's going out of the zone, up those tantalizing fastballs up. He's swinging at all of them now, Dennis, and it's not looking good right now for him.
Yeah, even the borderline pitchers are giving him a lot of trouble right now. But to some extent, you expect this young guy,
yeah.
second year in the league, he wants to be great. Same thing with Fernando. They're both angry at themselves, understandably. They've spent kind of the past 2 months angry at themselves, but he's gonna adjust. I'm pretty confident. I think we can all say that at this point. We saw him make some adjustments midseason last year, and obviously it led to one of the best second halves Dodgers have seen from one of their hitters in recent memory. So I think right now he's maybe stuck in between a little bit. You know, he went into this year wanting to walk more, wanting to be more disciplined, and now he's just getting a ton of pitches outside the strike zone. So he's a guy who wants to be aggressive and wants to hit at the same time. So kind of that push-pull battle with him. But the fact is, kind of like you alluded to, you know, he and Fernando have been two of the worst hitters on, you know, one of the majors' worst offenses for close to 2 months now. So they've got to, you know, get back to who they are. If they don't, the Fighters are going to be in big trouble, no matter who they add at the trade deadline.
One thing that is impressive, though, for Jackson and Fernando, and you know what, Xander, even as a veteran, despite the offensive struggles, they have not carried it out to the field.
Not even a little.
Three of them continue to play defense well, and when they do get on, run the bases well, and contribute in other ways when they can. And that, I think that's saying something, Dennis.
Yeah, and it explains why Fernando is going to the All-Star game. I know it's a surprise for a lot of people, maybe even slightly myself, but if you look at just his wins above replacement, he's top 10 in the league, and that's largely due to, like you said, Ben, his defense, his base running, the things that he is bringing each night despite the lack of offense. But, yeah, for Jackson, too, he's looked pretty smooth out there in center field, and that's what they definitely need. But again, even more, they need the offense. They need the slugging. So if those two guys can turn it on here in the second half and go into the All-Star break with a nice finishing homestand, that, again, would be as important as anything they would get, you know, potentially by July 31st.
Talking to our pal Dennis Lynn from The Athletic, and it's funny, you know, you mentioned Jackson Merrill and wanting to walk more. I can think of two guys that we talked to in spring training, two guys that both said, yeah, you know, want to add that feather in the quiver, essentially. And neither of them are Jackson Merrill and Luis Arraez, who it's almost as impossible to walk him as it is to strike him out, Dennis. And I wonder going into a season saying, you know, I need to walk more is kind of a weird approach in my mind, especially for such an elite contact hitter like Luis Arraez. Yes, he chases, you know, but he's able to do damage sometimes out of the zone, doesn't do damage on pitches in the zone. I don't know. That philosophy seems a bit odd to me. Guys like that are such good hitters, you know, wanting to incorporate walks into their game. I wonder if that's changed, you know, maybe their mentality this year when they're at the plate.
Maybe especially for Jackson, who's, again, so young in the league and has a lot left to learn. You know, actually, I think he has walked more, up from like 5% last year to close to 8%. So, yeah, he's accomplished that goal so far, but it's come with a trade-off. Like,
yeah, at what cost, right?
Exactly. I was talking to Victor Rodriguez for this piece that ran this morning, and he said, We want him to be aggressive. We want him to be himself. You know, you can't just go up there and say, I'm going to walk more, because then you're not in a good position to hit. And right now he's not consistently enough in a good position to hit. And it's kind of leaving him maybe guessing at some pitches and reacting a little bit too late, rather than kind of letting the pitch dictate what he does with what he's swinging at and, you know, what pitches he's trying to do damage on. And right now he needs to get back to pitches he can handle and not kind of come out of his mechanics and chase those pitches above the strike zone and just be more patient, which is, you know, part of the dilemma too, because he does need to be more patient right now because that's the way he's getting pitched. So if he can get back to, you know, just being a little more selective while also being, you know, more aggressive, like his usual self at the same time, that sounds contradictory, it's going to lead us to much better results than he's seeing right now.
Dennis Lynn from The Athletic is with us. And Dennis, we heard from the organization, and particularly Mike Shildt, optimism for months about Yu Darvish returning. Well, it is finally happening. Yu Darvish will pitch tonight. You know, Michael King, we're still not sure about. Starting to hear, you know, more like an August maybe date for his return. What's more of the unvarnished look at what the expectations are now for Yu Darvish and Michael King going forward?
Well, starting with Darvish, I think it's a really good sign that, you know, he's back before the All-Star break, and, you know, could end up make two starts before the All-Star break, tonight and Saturday, if everything goes according to the plan. But, you know, I always come back to him. He's almost 39. He's had a lot of mileage on that arm. It's been 10 years since his last Tommy John surgery, his first Tommy John surgery. I'm not saying he's headed for another one, but there's always an expiration date for a lot of these guys, with especially, you know, the amount of mileage on his arm, which is, it does explain why he's taking this rehab so slow, because his elbow is clearly not 100%, as it never is for, you know, a lot of pitchers in the majors. But he's had all that mileage on his arm, and, you know, he's talked about throwing slower in recent weeks. Cause he hit 97 in that rehab start in May with El Paso, and that was actually his fastest pitch if you include all his major league pitches since 2023. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see him tonight try to throw more, you know, 93, 94, kind of harness that a little bit more, the velocity, and we'll see how long it lasts. I'm not trying to be pessimistic here, but he's almost 39 again, and, you know, there's probably an expiration date on that arm. So if you can give them, you know, a good second half and help them reach the playoffs, that's the best case scenario. If he can, you know, take some pressure off the back end of that rotation with some inexperienced pitchers, the Padres would love that. So we'll see. But, you know, right now he's kind of an open question, but it's definitely good news that he's back. And as far as Michael King, I think, August, maybe even September, or what you're looking at, but he's feeling better. I think he actually threw off the front of the mound the other day for the first time. So he's making progress.
Dennis, do you get the sense that at the deadline, there's a lot of those teams that are you know, what you would call in flux, right? Like, I think the Boston Red Sox GM has come out and said, no, we're going to buy and sell. You know, like, they're one of those, like, we've got pieces to move, but we also want to add to improve our team. Every GM says it. Where do you get the sense that AJ stands on a guy like, I don't know, Dylan Cease? Is Dylan Cease pitching for the Padres after the deadline? And is it dependent on how Dylan Cease pitches, like, this week and next? Like, if he goes out and continues this pretty bad stretch that he's been on, couple starts notwithstanding, is that a guy that they're going to look to maybe move and reload while also adding other pieces to try to make the playoffs?
It's a good question. I think if he were here pitching much better, it'd be even, like, a tougher question to answer. But right now his value is not very high. So that kind of leads to more problems if you're going to trade him.
But isn't he one of those guys, though, that you look at and you go, yeah, but it's a tweak here, it's a tweak there. He's still throwing 99. He's still Dylan Cease. Like, the track record is good enough, and he's young enough and healthy enough that.
But you're the Padres. You're saying that, too.
I know, right?
But he's still Dylan Cease. We need him for the playoff stretch in the postseason.
I get it. I totally get it. I just really wonder, you know, what the future is. I don't think it's here beyond this year, and I do think you could get some pieces back from even with a down year for him.
Yeah, I think with AJ, you can never rule anything out. I think AJ's thinking here is first of all, he's helping a bunch of other teams, like, start losing a ton, so they start actually, you know, picking up his phone calls and talking to him about players they can trade him. But with Dylan, yeah, it's really interesting. I guess I could, in theory, see it going either way. Yeah, maybe they do some combination of buying and selling. But, you know, this is a team that has put a lot of mileage on its bullpen, and they just straight up, they need Dylan to eat up a lot more innings, and they need him a lot more than what they could probably get for him. As opposed to, you know, it's too late now, but it's a lot better to, you know, try to trade one of these guys in the offseason when all 29 teams are going to want a guy like that. Well, maybe not all 29, but more like all 25. Maybe it's a lesson learned from, maybe they should have traded Dylan Cease in the offseason, and still, they probably still would have been in position to contend if he had pitched like this, because, you know, he's pitching well under his expectations, and they've gotten better production from, you know, guys they haven't expected as much from. So we'll see in the next few weeks, I guess.
Dennis, good stuff. Appreciate your time, as always. Have a good week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, brother.
Take care.
Dennis Lynn, our Lynn Sider from The Athletic, joining us every Monday at 8:35.
Because I feel like, does anybody in here agree? Does anybody in here think Dylan Cease is costing himself a lot of money next year? I don't.
I do not.
I don't think he's costing himself really any money. I really don't. I think people are going to be like, I still want Dylan Cease on my team.
He hasn't cost himself anything yet. If he keeps struggling all season, there's going to be some hits on what
some,
a
but
year
not
two,
like he's not
some
gonna,
dollars.
He's like, not like five to $10 million dollars.
He won't be signing a prove it deal for 1 year, $12 million. Like, that's not happening, I don't think.
All right, we've got 1 hour still to go. Maybe one of those teams that needs to lose is finally losing for the Padres to line up with a trade partner. We can talk about that and more coming up next with Bennett Woods on The Fan.